This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. You're here with Lynn Roshan and Noel. It's 7:36 a.m. Tuesday, the 8th of September. In about half an hour, we're going to be having the breakfast grill where Wang Xiaoning will speak with Sally Adli Sarkum, President and Chief Operating Officer of Honda Malaysia.
Honda Malaysia is a household name and dominant auto player in Malaysia. But on the back of increased competition, is that dominance slipping away? Also, what has been the impact of COVID-19? So it sounds like it's going to be an interesting grill.
It is indeed. So that's going to be happening after the 8 o'clock news bulletin. Be sure to stay tuned.
We've also got a poll running on Twitter right now. What's the main reason you eat out? And 72% of the vote say convenience, 14% say lifestyle, 4% say it's affordable, and 10% have said others, including things like family considerations, I guess. We don't actually have reasons. So if you put others, let us know, actually.
Yes, and now we're taking a look at this subject over on the poll because Oxford Economics has recently conducted a study on how COVID-19 has been affecting some of the world's major cities. Now, the study highlighted New York, which accounts for 2.5% of the US population, has about 241,000 cases and 24,000 deaths. And now at least 20 metropolitan areas have surpassed New York City in terms of number of cases, like Los Angeles, Long Beach, Houston, Chicago, as well as Atlanta.
So Oxford Economics, their report, so what they're pointing out is the attraction of New York and similar big cities like London as places to live and work may not be that appealing as they once were, you know, with people working away from offices or having that option to do so. So for example, couples whose children are already grown up may also want to move out of the city to somewhere cheaper and know where the air is cleaner and fresher. Also, highly qualified and highly mobile and economically productive young adults too.
Yeah, I've always had this dream of when I grew up, I will buy a house in Seremban and live there away from the city. But it seems like there is an impetus there.
Yeah, I'm thinking of Cameron Highlands.
Okay, so looks like I'll be conducting the show solo if you guys decide to join the exodus. Because, you know, talking about these kind of movements out of the city, the fear is that it will cripple businesses around commercial as well as residential property values. And then what becomes of the economy generated by these great cities? So to break down the study even further is Richard Holt, head of the Global Cities Research at Oxford Economics. Richard, thank you for joining us. Now, COVID-19 has shown that it is possible to work from home and that digital working can also be effective. So with this increased possible mobility, could we see young adults move away from big cities that are currently economic centres?
Well, I guess that's always been a possibility, and perhaps it's just a bit more likely now than it used to be. It's traditionally, if you are interested in making a career in certain types of occupations, being a corporate lawyer, for example, would be a classic example. You wanted to be where the action is in a big city. That's become less true. Whereas in the past, people tended to move away from the big cities later in the career. Maybe it's more likely earlier in the career, but more likely rather than being an exodus, I think.
As it stands, how badly is this reduced city activity affecting big cities around the world?
What one is hearing from reports from many cities around the world is that the suburbs of the city, the sort of the outer parts are very busy, but when you get into the absolute centre, into the central business district, that's when it gets very quiet, because it's got the really big offices, and those are the ones which are best suited for adopting home working. And the consequence of that is that the sandwich shops, the cafes, the bars, and many of the shops, they have very little business. So it's actually those that are suffering. The offices themselves, the output is probably happening. It's just happening in people's homes rather than in the office. And then obviously that has knock-on effects. There are other sort of taxi drivers. Many others will be having a similar sort of experience.
So with reduced economic activity as people react to and adopt to the new normal, do you think this will be a temporary setback? And what can cities do to rejuvenate growth?
Well, a couple of things there. I think one is that if people are working at home, they're still going to be having their lunch, so they're still going to be wanting to buy. So activity doesn't necessarily fall overall. It's where the activity takes place that changes. So it may be that there's a shift towards more activity in the outer suburbs of cities rather than the centre. A second thing, I think, is that, in a sense, we haven't really been tested in terms of our working experience. If I take the example, again, of a corporate lawyer, there's not been a lot of mergers and acquisition activity taking place this year. The advertising sector has been quite quiet. People haven't been making television programmes. Now, it may be what we find is that when really those sorts of activities pick up again, people say, actually, for this, I do have to be in the office after all. So that's a possibility as well. But what can cities do? Well, I think that the more that cities can do to be a well-run, well-managed city where people feel safe, safe in terms of their health, safe in terms of social distancing and so on, the more likely the city is to succeed. So good management, good finances, good healthcare in the city itself becomes part of economic competitiveness.
Now, you've put forward some arguments in your research about how city migration had been well underway even before the pandemic hit. For example, migration away from California's high-tech cities towards smaller cities instead. So what are some of the reasons that companies are moving away in the first place?
Well, it's been both companies and individuals for the same reason in part, which is simply the cost. It's cheaper to recruit somebody in Austin in Texas than it is to recruit them in Silicon Valley. Or if you're the individual, it's cheaper to buy somewhere to live in Austin, Texas than it is in Silicon Valley. So those are powerful factors. There's also going to be a quality of life factor for the individual concerned, and that is clearly important. And then the other thing is that it used to be absolutely a marker of success that you were working in London or New York or Silicon Valley or just a small handful of cities around the world. Now, that view is less prevalent nowadays than it was. And the more that that happens, it becomes a snowball effect. If other really high-powered people are happy to live and work in Austin in Texas, then so are you, because it doesn't reflect badly on you. So the more that who do it, the more who are likely to do it. And that's what's been happening in the last decade or so.
Will we see a surge in upscale commercial properties trading their swanky addresses for suburbs, smaller cities and towns?
Yeah, I think some companies will be doing that. You know, that's part of the cost driver. I mean, if you put it crudely, if we have half the number of people in an office, but each person needs twice as much space because social distancing is not just a short-term, then a permanent phenomenon, if that's the case, the demand for office space has not fallen. The company concerned is no worse off. They've still got this person working, but the person is working at home. So the company can still afford to pay the rent. So in that sense, maybe there isn't a change. Now, that may be a little bit naive, but I think that that's an important element. The other thing to remember is that in some cities in the world, London and New York are prime examples of this, there's a shortage of housing availability. If people are coming to the view that actually walking to the office is rather a nice idea, then it may be that the demand for housing in city centres suddenly rises. So if we do have empty office blocks, maybe that actually there's a big surge in converting those into homes. And as a result of that, the property market overall is fine. It's just a redistribution of how the assets are used.
Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Richard. That was Richard Holt, Head of Global Cities Research at Oxford Economics, talking to us about how big cities are going to change in the wake of this pandemic. And I particularly like what he said about how cities can bounce back, but only if they're well-run, well-managed. So basically, good management, good healthcare, things like that could actually become part of economic competitiveness going forward.
Yeah, you know, these were some of the ideas that were being mooted or at least theorized at the beginning of the pandemic, right? That because now we're going to test out remote working, we're having basically a large trial across the world in different geographies, so it's randomized as well, about the feasibility of remote working in various different segments of society. In some segments, it doesn't work. In some segments, it does. So with that in mind, do we see then the importance of being in close proximity to economic centers become less important because you can do it remotely? So could you, for example, live in Seremban, but work in Kuala Lumpur because you're doing it remotely. These are things to take into consideration, especially considering the high price of real estate in the city.
I think right now it's too early to tell if there will be an exodus because there are many considerations. Schooling for your kids, good schools are in the cities, proximity to friends and family. But, you know, interesting, even like BP, for example, they plan to sell, I think they have plans to sell their London head office and they're just going to rent for 2 years and then move out completely. But of course, the oil and gas industry has not been doing well.
Yes, so this is something that's going to be very interesting to keep an eye on as we move forward into hopefully a post-pandemic world. But right now, we have some messages coming up for you. Then up next, we're speaking with Christopher Chung of Khazanah Research Institute on what eating out might be able to tell us about poverty levels. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.